This is Archer of Archer.com. Today is Sunday, April 11th, 2010. And we had a busy weekend. Now, I'm keeping notes and writing down. I'm going to talk about John Ong later. But anyway, we had a busy weekend, a busy wine weekend. The boyfriend came over to my house on Friday night, and I made some pasta, and we had some wine. We went to bed, actually, I think relatively early, like by 10:30, because we were busy on Saturday. We had plans to go to, we went to like two wineries during the day, but our biggest plans were going to a Cabernet Sauvignon Reserve or Reserve Cab vertical tasting at our favorite winery, Grey Ghost. And you have to get dressed up, and I had to wear a tie and coat and all that. And I hate getting dressed up, but we always have a good time when we go there. And we tasted, I think, 10 different Reserve Cabs. I want to say 10. From years all the way back to 1993. As a matter of fact, we tasted 1993, 97, 98, 99, 01, 02, 04, and 05. And of course they had, food to have with it. Two different courses of food and a dessert, so three courses, I guess. And we enjoyed the winner of the evening was the 98 Reserve Cab. It was really good. I think what came in second was the 01 and then the 02, and then the rest kind of just, you know, fill in the different times. The 93, for being a, what is that, 17-year-old wine? Not bad, but it was, I called it dirt. It smelled like dirt, but the boyfriend said, don't call it dirt, that will upset the winemaker. Just say that it has like a forest floor nose, something like that. I'm like, oh, please, it smells like dirt. But it wasn't bad. I mean, we drank it, but, you know, and a dirt on the nose is not a bad thing. It's just another characteristic, I guess. Anyway, and so we were there for like 3 hours, maybe a little longer than that. It ended up late in the evening, like 11 o'clock, so we had already planned to stay in Warrington, at a hotel in Warrington, so we just went back to the hotel and fell asleep and went to bed. And that was Saturday, but during the day Saturday, vertical tasting was in the evening, but during the day Saturday, we went to two other wineries. Was it two or three? I can't remember now. And just did our, you know, usual tasting and have a glass of wine and then go to the next one. So anyway, and then today we got up and, had breakfast at the hotel, the Continental breakfast or whatever. And then we left and went to one winery on the way home and ended up staying there for like 3 hours. We did a cellar tasting and had a glass of wine on there. Deck and met the winemaker. Well, we already met him once before, but we got to meet him again and chit chat with him, and just had a good time. Then came home and we took a we took a nap anyway, and then I keep saying anyway. Then the boyfriend, we got up and the boyfriend had to go home, so here I am podcasting. And I'm watching The Amazing Race right now as I'm podcasting. And those, the brothers, one of them's gay and one of them's straight, brothers are up on top of that Ferris wheel thing in London. And it looks like he's going to fall. He's not going to fall. Anyway, I do have other things to talk about. And I just wrote down on my list, I want to talk about John Ong because, as you know, John Ong did the music for Archer Radio, the original one. Actually, all the music, all the intro songs that you hear that I play on Archer Radio are from John Ong. Well, he, because I don't say Archer Radio anymore, because I don't have the domain name Archer Radio, and I don't say Archer Radio anymore, well, John Ong decided to come up with a, now where did I put that? He came up with, he remade it. The Archer. What did I do with that? I think I put it in my let's see. Oh yeah, there it is. I should Yeah, I should stop this music and let you hear this. Anyway, so John Ong came up with a remade intro music for Archer.com. And he said I could play it if I wanted to or not if I didn't want to. But I want to get your opinion if you like it, if you think I should replace. Because the music I play at the beginning now, it doesn't have the singing. It just has the music. Well, John Ong created this one with the music. And I should turn this up a little bit. Tell me if you like this, or what do you think about it? Here, listen to this. It sounds pretty cool. What do you think? Should I use that? Well, actually, you heard it at the beginning of today's song. I mean, at the end of today's podcast. But is that something I should stick with, or should I, you know, play the traditional one that I've used for a long time now? I want some feedback, so let me know what you think. Let's go back to this music. But I do want to publicly thank John Ong for reworking my music. I appreciate that very much. He's such a good artist, you know, musically and computer-wise and stuff like that. He's just amazing. So, yeah, let me know about that. So what's going on in other news? Well, actually, a lot of news happened this weekend. It started with the whole plane crash in Russia, or the Polish plane crash where the Polish president died and a whole bunch of people on his plane died. That was actually sad. But then I remember when I was watching the news about that and it showed who the guy was and that he's got an identical twin brother. I realized, okay, this is the guy who actually, if I remember correctly, he is against homosexuals having any kind of rights. So I'm not too upset that he died, I guess. That's probably a bad thing to say, but not too upset that happened. I mean, it's just sad, but anyway. But all the other people died. That is sad. But anyway, that was just odd. Actually, you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember some of you gay men probably watching Dynasty in the 80s? Wasn't there a ending show or something where all of the people get killed on an airplane, like the people of this little country? Someone remind me about that, if that's the case, because I think that was a storyline on Dynasty where all of the diplomats and the king or something all get killed in a plane crash. Is that right? Someone tell me, because I don't remember Dynasty all that much, but tell me. And then, of course, I don't know why I keep saying that. Really sad that Dixie Carter died of complications with uterine cancer, poor thing. She was 70 years old, and you know, here's the thing that I find interesting about her is, and I heard this on CBS Sunday Morning Show, that she, even though her character on Designing Women was a very liberal, very progressive thinking woman, in real life, she was actually a conservative who was more in line with a libertarian, small government kind of person than... And actually, not huge on social issues. They're more concerned about the government not spending so much money. So I think that was interesting, since she played such a liberal person, progressive person on Designing Women. Then you heard on, was it Friday, I think, Justice John Paul Stevens? I'm like losing my mind. I think it was John Paul Stevens decided he was going to retire. Yes. And then instantly it's like, who is Obama going to nominate to replace John Paul Stevens? And of course they have all these names being thrown out there, like Janet Napolitano and I'm not on that page, but there's a whole bunch of names being thrown out there. And when they've said Janet Napolitano, I'm like, oh, what? That'll be the first lesbian justice, because isn't she like secretly a lesbian? I don't know, but she probably is. But now we get to go through that whole process again. Do you remember when Sotomayor was up for her confirmation hearings? Like, oh my God, these Republicans are asking her stupid questions and saying stupid things. I'm sure we're going to be ending up going through the same shit with whoever Obama chooses. Now, of course, who was it? That idiot congressman or senator said... Oh, he's got to nominate someone who's much more moderate now. He cannot have a progressive liberal on the court. Well, yes, he can, and I think he should. And I'm hoping that one of these other Supreme Court justices decide to step down or die, which is, I shouldn't say that. But I know it's not going to happen because some of them are not that old. John Paul Stevens was the oldest. He was turning 90 next week. And actually, I did a search for the justices. Supreme Court justices. There we go. And if I click on that, where is, there it is. No, that's not what I want. Oh, they've changed this. Now they've got all these, a live Twitter feed about that. Anyway, I scroll down to the justices and Chief Justice Roberts is only 55. John Paul Stevens is 89. Antonin Scalia, 74. Oof, I wish he was older and closer to death. Anthony Kennedy is 73, Clarence Thomas is 61, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 77, Stephen Breyer is 71, ugh, Samuel Alito, ugh, he's only 60, and then Sonia Sotomayor is 55, so I hope she'll be around for a long, long time. I think we have to be concerned about Ruth Bader Ginsburg with her illnesses and stuff. I hope if she's going to pass away or step down, she needs to do it during the Obama administration. And as I really cannot stand Scalia. He grates my nerves because he says he's a what's the word when he a strict constitutionalist, like he believes in the exact words of the Constitution. Like it's not up for interpretation whatsoever. Whatever the Constitution actually says, that's what the law should be, so on and so forth. I can't stand that guy. I absolutely cannot stand him. Anyway, so we will see who Obama nominates, and will it be someone who is much more progressive? I really hope so, because we need. Well, the only thing is, it's not going to upset the balance on the court at all, because it would be replacing a liberal with a liberal, even though. John Paul Stevens was put on the court by Ford in 75. I think I could find that out if I look down here. I think it was December 19th, 1975 by Gerald Ford. And I think at the time they thought he was going to be a moderate or conservative, and turns out he's one of the more liberal judges on the court. Anyway, enough about the Supreme Court decision or chit-chat. I'm sure we will have more of that, and I'm sure it will come up on Thursday's group show. It's my week to do the group show, so we will have a live show Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Pride48.com. Don't forget that. Has anyone been following the national disaster of my governor? As you remember, he last week he declared or put out a proclamation claiming April as Confederate History Month in the state of Virginia, and then he got all this backlash and it went national. I saw it on the ABC Evening News with Diane Sawyer, and it was just, you know, blew up in his face. Well, now it turns out that the governor of Mississippi, Governor Barbour, is defending proclamation. He said that people already know slavery was a bad thing, and that the outcry over McDonald's proclamation amounted to making a big deal out of something that doesn't amount to diddly. Do you really want to associate yourself with idiot McDonald? Sad, very sad. But on top of that, our governor on Friday, I know this, it's like never ending with this guy. Oh, actually, they have some audio. Maybe I should play that. Let me stop this music and see if we can hear this audio. It's a YouTube clip.
Particularly because the governor did not even mention slavery in this proclamation. Was that a mistake?
Well, I don't think so. My state legislature has made a legislatively enacted holiday, Confederate Memorial Day. Have done it for years under Republican governors and Democrat governors, and for 7 years as governor, I have issued a proclamation because of what the legislature's done. My Democratic predecessors did so as well. I don't know what you would say about slavery, but anybody that thinks that you have to explain to people that slavery is a bad thing, I think goes without saying.
But the sensitivity of it, because we heard from a number of African-American politicians and just people on the street that were interviewed in Virginia going, this is offensive to celebrate something that really was about slavery and have absolutely no mention of it. What do you do in your state?
Maybe they should talk to my Democratic legislature, which has done exactly the same thing in Mississippi for years. And as far as I know, the Democratic legislature, we have a majority of both houses are Democrats. I'm unaware of them being criticized for it or them having their supporters feel uncomfortable with it.
You know what I'm trying to get at here is that there's this sort of feeling that it's insensitive, but you clearly don't agree.
To me, it's a sort of feeling that it's a nit, that it is not significant, that it's not, it's trying to make a big deal out of something that doesn't amount to diddly.
What a freaking idiot. It's not that he doesn't care. I mean, it's not that he isn't sensitive. He just doesn't care. He's a racist white man from the South. Ugh. Jeez. Unbelievable. But anyway, I was getting to something else. So, my governor on Friday made another, you know, idiot move. I think it was on Friday he did this. Let's see. I'm going to find the article in the Post. Of course, now I'm already been talking for 17 minutes. Sorry. Here it is, another wrangle for McDonald. For the second time in a week, Virginia Governor Robert McDonald has angered black leaders and civil rights groups, this time when they learned of his plans to add another step for nonviolent felons to have their voting rights restored. Now, a little background. In the state of Virginia, actually there's only two states, Virginia and Kentucky, if you are a convicted felon and you serve your time and you get out of jail, you don't automatically get your voting rights back. You have to apply for them, and it has to go through this panel, and then they decide if you should get your rights back or whatever. Well, so it's already a long process. Governor McDonald has now said, well, it says, McDonald will require the offenders to submit an essay outlining their contributions to society since their release, turning a nearly automatic process into a subjective one that some say may prevent poor, less educated, or minority residents from being allowed to vote. And that's exactly what it is. Let's look at the felons in the state of Virginia. Probably the majority of them are black, and they probably do not have the education of the average white person. So he's basically saying, you have to write an essay. Well, if you're an uneducated black man, you're not going to be able to write the essay, right? I mean, if it has to be from you, can you dictate it to somebody else? Can they do it for you? I mean, the hurdles that this guy's putting in the way of, you know, people who, they've done their time, they've served the time. According to our laws, they should have their, you know, their voting rights back. They've done their time. Let them, you know, become citizens again and have the voting rights that everybody else has. So anyway, he's putting up another roadblock. And it says here, where was it? McDonald's administration said the essay requirement is designed to put a human face on each applicant and to help staff members better understand each person's situation. Please. Now that music's too loud in my head. It gives all applicants the opportunity to have their cases heard and have their full stories told, said Janet Polarek, Secretary of the Commonwealth, whose office handles the requests. It's an opportunity, not an obstacle. Yes, it is. The process, anyway, that they've been having to go through to get their voting rights back, in the past has taken from 6 months to 6 to 12 months, you know, an entire year. McDonald's office is now saying it'll take 90 days. They're going to cut down the time, and every application will be done within 90 days. How is that possible? And they're not going to give the office any more money to hire people to... I mean, this whole thing is just ridiculous, and that's exactly what he's doing. This is, you know, typical white southern state. Take away or make it almost impossible for poor or minority people to get their voting rights back when they have served their time, they have done, you know, what they need to do. You know, oh, it just drives me crazy. This just, I have the worst frickin' governor in the country, and it's sad. Anyway, you can check out the Washington Post to read the articles about him, or just, hell, do a search for Governor McDonald, Virginia, and all this shit will come up, because he's an idiot. And, of course, now that the Mississippi Haley Barbour is backing him, this is not going to end, I'm sure. And last thing, as I was saying, I think I even said this on the last podcast, Tiger Woods, I don't care. He didn't win the Masters today. He tried very hard. He did not win. I don't care, one way or the other. Mickelson won it. Anyway, so that's all I have for today, boys and girls. And don't forget to come back on Thursday for the live show, 8 p.m. Thursday night, pride48.com, and join the chat room. So don't forget that. All right, boys and girls, until next time, have a great week. Until next time, bye.